guys are going to hear me talk a lot more about inshore fishing. I absolutely love it. Absolutely have fell in love with going out there. It's just a much different environment. Coming from southwestern Ohio and catching bass, even around here, catching the bass, you're sticking pretty close to structure. You are along the shorelines. You're fishing lily pads. You have certain techniques that you use. And you pretty much know that you're going to be catching a bass. But when you're out there in the inshore, and in my experience of Mosquito Lagoon, you have no clue what's going to hit that lure. And to me, that is very, very exciting. And all I'm really doing is modifying those bass fishing techniques. Just maybe giving the steroid to it a little bit. Just beefing it up some. You know, when it comes to inshore fishing, anglers have so many options. And inshore fishing is just one of the most popular and versatile types of fishing because it absolutely offers the angler a variety of so many different options. You can wade. You can fish from a kayak or a canoe. You can fish from a boat or the hundreds of miles of shoreline. Inshore fishing is such a great way to experience the beauty and the nature and the charming coastal communities that run up and down the coastline. And you're out there catching fish in salt water. It's an activity that is very, very popular among the people who just simply love coming outdoors and hanging out. And I think more than anything, feel the intimacy of the water. Now, there is a variety of gear along with techniques you can use for inshore depending on the type of fishing that you are after. There's so many YouTube channels out there, just inshore fishing. Check that out and you're going to have a bunch of videos, and that's a great place to check out a lot of the gear that you might be needing to possibly beef up a little bit for some of this stuff. But I've been having such an amazing good time and being very successful at doing nothing different than what I would do intending on catching a 8, 9, 10 pound bass. I haven't changed nothing, haven't changed the lures, haven't changed the setups, nothing. And as long as they are putting fish in the net and I'm catching big fish and successful at it, I'm not going to change nothing. Now the day that tarpon comes and just breaks my stuff, peels so much line out of my bait caster that it just turns it into a rock tumbler, on that day I'll beef my stuff up, but I'll have that experience of why I'm beefing it up. So that's kind of the approach I take with this. Now, the red drum is an amazing fish. They are absolute bulldozers, and I had the wonderful opportunity to catch one that was a pretty good size, 27, 28 inches long, possibly, 13, 14 pound drum. Obviously, the biggest drum that I've caught so far tugged my kayak around for a couple of minutes, and it was just an amazing fight doing it the whole time on some bait casting setup. In fact, I caught that thing using a Hedden tiny torpedo. Imagine that. Now, the red drum by far is the most sought after inshore species in the U.S. They have a very distinct noise made while spawning, which gives them the nickname of the red drum. I have not heard that yet, but I'm anxious to hear it. I have seen their very signature tails sticking up out of the water, which is a sight to see. These fish are a year-round target, and because they frequently are found in such massive schools, one after another, you may just very well spark a feeding frenzy with these fish. Now, assessing an area where these fish are feeding may very well be the most important that a fisherman can do. And the angler who puts his or herself in front of the most reds will consistently be the angler that is the most successful. Fortunately for the novice, they are very similar in bass and in technique, and I will attest to that. They are pretty predictable, so this can be a relatively easy problem to solve with the proper know-how and the proper lure. And from my experience, I would absolutely go out there and use a lure that I'm going to talk about in a little bit more detail here momentarily, but they call it the Guggen Squad Revolver. Oh, look, you can hear a pin drop in the room right now. Yes, it's a Guggen Squad Revolver. One day I was out catching really nice big speckled trout with it, and the next day I was out catching really nice largemouth bass with it. The same exact lure, the Guggen Squad Revolver, and I'm going to talk about here that a little bit more momentarily. Now the reds, they only have like really a couple things that those fish are tuned into, a lot like other fish. Now a couple things that they are thinking about. One, where's that next meal? Where's the next meal? Where's the next meal? Where's the next meal? Number two, don't get eaten by a predator. Don't get eaten by a predator. Don't get eaten by a predator. Okay, this is how they move. This is how they eat. This is what you're thinking about. A really nice slot size red will inhabit inshore waterways all around the state of Florida, where they can outscoot basically the ultimate predator, and that would be for them and many other fish, the dolphin. Safe to assume that reds will hang out around all the structure because it helps them solve a couple of problems, much like the bass that we like to fish for back in southwestern Ohio. It provides a great resource for food, like bait fish, in the case down here, shrimp and crabs. But it also offers protection from predators, and it also allows for that ambush opportunity. So look for some structure like oyster beds, shallow grass, flats, docks, rocks, jetties, or even like mangrove roots would be a good place to just start targeting in those areas if you're just down here doing this for the first time. Now, migrating offshores to deeper water, these fish will do during the colder winter months, but when that weather heats up, they can be found inshore where the food for them is just absolute plentiful. That served up on the buffet table for the reds would be something like mullet and shrimp and crabs and all types of bait fish. Now, they're bottom feeders, relying on a really strong sense of smell and sight and touch, and they will certainly put the smack down, I will attest to this as well, to top water. If you're going out there and you're wanting to put yourself in one of the angler challenge events that they have here in Florida, it's a angler's challenge category in which it's an inshore grand slam. You go out there in a kayak, in 24 hours, you catch a snook or a red, a speckled trout, and a flounder. So that's one particular category. And I didn't know that until I went out there on my first day and was successful in catching a flounder, not knowing what I was doing. I was tossing an American tackle rattle and shrimp. So obviously the rattle and shrimp knew more than I did about catching flounder. I caught a flounder, and I also caught a really nice speckled trout, which I discovered is one of the slimiest fish I've ever tried to pick up. This fish's head was buried down in my Hobie Mirage Drive, and I had to get my pliers out to grab the tail to pull this thing out. I couldn't pull it out with my hands. It was just too slimy. That's an inshore grand slam of those three fish would be the flounder, the trout, and the red. And you can go after the first two pretty easy. Early morning bites on the surface, and that would be your speckled trout, and then your red, and then you take the rest of the time and start looking for those open potholes, basically those open oyster bed areas where those flounder love to lay down to camouflage themselves flat to the surface. The ultimate predator right there. Ultimate ambush predator, that's for sure. So a standard size, 7 foot medium rod, you know, like with a 3000 reel will do it. In most scenarios, a 10 pound or 15 pound braid with like a 20 pound leader will also work. And finding that right setup absolutely makes it work all for you. So you want to take the time in doing that. Be patient and just, you know, first and foremost, enjoy the pursuit. Because I promise you, the reward at the end is pretty amazing. We'll be right back. Now, the next species that I want to talk about is the speckled trout. This fish is absolutely amazing, a lot of fun to catch. When it comes to netting a trout, these fish are not picky. As I have found out myself, if I can catch one with an 8th grade Amelia education, they're not very picky. But let us just say this, they're very finicky about the water temperature and the quality of the water. Talking about some of those favorite spots to go looking for this species of fish are like grass flats or a shallow flat of 2 to 4 feet is probably the best place to find this species. Speckled trout follow bait fish like shrimp and small crabs that love to hang out in these grass flats. Specks will absolutely shatter their prey constantly and they move around a lot, so you will probably have to migrate yourself. Oyster beds are a great place. These fish love clean water, and that is exactly what you're going to find around an oyster bed or oyster bar. These also, obviously, will attract the bait fish for those speckled trout, so they know where to be. Jetties and inlets and other places to find specks. I mean, wherever you find a jetty or an inlet, you should find plenty of moving water. And these spots attract a lot of mullet and croakers and speckled trouts. It's the place to be. Whenever there is an incoming or outgoing tide, you're going to find trout around these jetties feasting on whatever is coming through there. It is absolutely a place that you need to go to. And birds, interestingly enough, are actually a good giveaway that there are some trout close by. Pelicans and comrades will cruise above the water surface, going up and down, looking for bait fish. And when you see them starting to bomb down into the water, man, that is a great place to start tossing a lure. Now, I want to start talking about and tell you guys about a particular lure. And you know, I don't do a lot of reviews on lures, but if they work for me, I want to share that with you. And this particular lure that I want to talk about has been doing such a good job for me in freshwater as well as saltwater. Now, maybe I should start talking about lures a lot more and what works for me and diving into them and really thinking about what really makes that lure work. And I thought to myself, what is making this particular lure work for me? Why hasn't anybody really been tossing this thing down here? Because it's working. It's the Guggen Squad Revolver. It's a plopping topwater lure that Guggen Squad has out. Now you're probably going, what? Guggen Squad, you know, are there some of you going, what the? But I'm sure there's a lot of Guggen Squad believers out there. And hey, if it works, it works. And so far, the Bandito bug works for me. And now the Revolver plopping topwater lure. This thing is amazing. I absolutely love it. Now, I would describe this, or they do actually describe this as a Mondo casting topwater. It's a great title for it. Whatever that means, I would agree it is a Mondo topwater. One day I'm out catching big speckled trout with it on the inshore. Next day I'm on a water in Central Florida looking for bass and catching 5-pounders with this same exact lure. It will work here, it will work there, and it will work everywhere. I was down at a local Academy Sports, and I was doing something that I don't do often, and that is allowing myself to kind of splurge slightly on lures that I've never even tried or maybe even seen. So allowing myself the chance to just go for it, I grabbed up what I would describe as a somewhat clumsy and heavy looking lure, and it would be the Guggen Squad Revolver. It's a whopper plopper style lure with a rotating fin located in the middle segment of this 3-segment lure. Weighs 1/2 ounce. The fin makes a very particular plop different from other topwaters, and that could be one of the reasons why it's so successful. It has on the rear section what I would describe as like a whale tail. And I believe that really helps in a couple ways. It keeps the lure flat and level on the surface of the water when you're retrieving this thing. They tend to twist a lot, the whole body. But that whale tail keeps it nice and stabilized as you retrieve it. And sometimes you give a little quick rip across the surface of the water, and it keeps it from twisting on you. But it also keeps the lure, I think, from sinking down in the water. When you cast it, the Revolver just kind of hits the water like a cornhole bag, just splat. And that fin hitting splat on the water sticks to the top, and it doesn't go down in the water where the grass is growing and allowing that treble hook to grab grass, bring it back up to the surface. So when you start retrieving that thing and bringing it home, it's not working because it's full of grass. All of my other plopper style lures were going down in the water, grabbing grass up, getting twisted up in those segments of the lure and not working. So half of my casts that were made were getting chewed up with grass and unsuccessful on the retrieval. But that Revolver would hit the surface of that water and stick right there. It did not go down deep in the water to grab. Every once in a while it would, but most often it wouldn't. And I would say 90% of my cast were successful. And I believe another reason why that thing just absolutely works so well. Hey, I'm telling you, salt water, absolutely anything goes out there. Reds, snook, speckled trout, flounder, mangrove bass, black drum, sharks, and more. I mean, and then the next day, you take that lure out, and you're going to catch your personal best bass on it, because they absolutely hit this thing hard. One day, you're on a bull red. The next day, you're on your personal best. The Guggen Squad Revolver. You guys need to check it out. It's 4.5 inches in length, and it's 1/2 ounce in weight. And you can literally cast this lure a city block. And when retrieved at a moderate speed, this has quickly become a favorite of mine. The other lure that I'm going to quickly touch on that's been working really well for me is the H2OX Double Plop. And this is an Academy Sports, I think, lure. You could probably look online and just look up H2OX Double Plop. 4 inches in length. Has about 1/2 ounce in weight. It's a fantastic surface plopper type bait, and it works tremendously. It doesn't have just one fin, it has two, and they're collapsible, which help out in many ways. You get great distance on this lure, and when it hits the impact of the water, those fins open up and you get an immediate action out of those on your retrieval. So if you want to try something new, if you want to try some great surface water explosion action on Mosquito Lagoon or at Lake Harris or anywhere else your little honey hole is, and you want to try a new surface topwater lure, check out the Guggen Squad Revolver and check out the H2O Double Plop. I have a feeling you will be catching some bass with either one of those. John Graves Kayak Fishing. We'll be right back. John Graves Kayak Fishing is sponsored by AmericanTackle.us.